check this. The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney in association with the Dry Arts Complex, Letterkenny.
Hi, welcome one and all to the DL Debate, the first DL Debate to go out live on Highland Radio. The show, of course, has been a podcast on highlandradio.com, on Spotify and iTunes, and we're up to episode 19 now. A special thanks must go this evening to Kieran Brogan and all at Sister Sarah's in the Dry Arts Complex for helping keeping the show going throughout the lockdown. I want to give a special birthday mention to a lady down Newtown Cunningham by the name of Polly Devaney, who recently turned 99. What a woman. She was at her son's 80th birthday party last year, Jerry Devaney. I want to wish her a happy birthday. If it's your first time tuning into the show, this is the DL Debate, all about Donegal GAA. Whatever the story is, we're going to cover it. Whether it be the ladies, men's game, hurling, whatever the story is, the DL Debate is going to go with it. We also do features on GAA legends from Donegal and beyond. And this evening is no different, with Captain Marvel 92 hero Anthony Beloy joining us, and Kevin Cassidy will be on the line as well. Right, folks, now in the DL Debate, we turn our attention to the club championship. And after a brilliant couple of seasons in the club championship, with the remarkable story of Gidor coming through and winning Ulster, and then Niamh Connell last year pipping Gidor in a three-game saga and going all the way to an Ulster final themselves, all eyes are on the Donegal club championship that's coming up first weekend of August. We're glad to say it was looking like that might not happen, and I suppose a few names are straight away going to be highest on the list to take the championship. I suppose last year in particular, you would think the likes of Gidor and Eve Connell will be back, also Kilcarran, St Dunans, maybe a dark horse in there. But certainly from a Gidor perspective, all this young talent is coming through. A lot of people are tipping them to get back and win that title again. And someone who's balancing up all that age a small bit, the daddy of the group, joins us on the line. It is, of course, double all-star Kevin Cassidy.
To be, how are you doing?
Kevin, good to talk to you, my man. How's the body, anyway? You're going to give it another lash?
We are, Davey, working in the midst of it now. Last year was supposed to be the last one for myself and two or three others, but we just alluded to the three-game saga that we had there, and I suppose the disappointment of losing it, and we just want to try and right a few wrongs if we can, so we're going to give it one more lash.
And Kevin, how has things been there in terms of coming back? I know a lot of clubs not being allowed under their grounds. There was people training on parks and school grounds, and there was a lot of people not happy about these things. But what were you doing as a club pre-getting back on the pitch? Did you just meet up with these individual sessions, or how was training going?
Well, at the start, to be like everybody stuck to the game, to be honest with you. We did our own thing individually. Then as the things were being lifted, the restrictions were being lifted, we met in groups of fours and fives, but we weren't allowed near our pitch because the club were adamant that they were going to stick by the guidelines. So it made things difficult. Like, we had to make do with kind of patches of green down beside the golf course and what have you. But, you know, we have nearly 3 weeks kind of full contact under our belt now, which is good. But it's hard to be, and every club's going to be the same. You think you're in good shape because you're training yourself, but then when you go into the twisting and turning and the game situations that you weren't able to do, that's a tester. That's what every club's going through at the minute, I'd say.
Yeah, and no shortage of beaches there, Kevin. Obviously, that's the tightest training you can do. It's probably somewhere you're trying to avoid. But Kevin, what about the wandering man McNeilish? Is he taking the trip home again? Is that that's going to bolster the ranks?
I definitely, you know, obviously Oran took the decision to go to London at the start of the year. Listen, he went with our blessing because we wanted to see the young lad do well off the pitch, and he had to go and try and get a career for himself, and he enjoyed his stint in London, but just the way things fell with the virus, that it was safer for him to be here, so he's been back here, and I must say that he's absolutely flying. He's got more energy about him. He likes being down amongst the boys again, and it's great for us, and I honestly think the short season suits him, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
He knows he's not going to be there for 4 or 5, 6 months, so he's looking good at the minute, so just hopefully that keeps up.
Yeah, and coping with the loss of Michael Boyle, obviously, you know, a lot of people talked about his input into your tactical organisation and your fitness, and that there's no doubt he did bring something special to the group, Kevin, and he's going to be a miss this year.
Definitely, you know, sad to see Boyler going. Likewise, we obviously wanted to keep him, but he had to go to London for his own career, so you have to respect that. We looked to be honest, we looked at getting people in. A couple of names came up we were just chatting amongst ourselves then. We're lucky to have a kind of strong enough core group there. And, you know, there was no point bringing somebody in for the sake of it. You know, we wanted to make sure that he was going to be bringing something to the table. So what happened is we just decided to take it amongst ourselves. And young Kieran Gillespie, who's actually out injured at the minute, he's training in that area. So he's taking a lot of our sessions and delivering a lot of stuff that we want to be working on. So it's kind of a player-driven thing this year, to be honest, you know.
And Kevin, listen, it was big for Roa. I was on RT yesterday actually talking about this club v county scenario where the players were supposed to be at the clubs only and everybody was supposed to be abiding the rules. But then slowly but surely we heard filter information coming through saying, listen, this county was training, this county manager was ringing club managers saying, right, I need these players these days and that. Have you heard of these cases around now? I know that Croke Park cracked a whip last week. There was a Zoom meeting of all the county chairmen and they're like, right, stick to the rules, there's going to be serious sanctions here. But had you heard of counties training?
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure, like myself, you have kind of eyes and ears in every county and you hear what's happening. But the big mistake for me was when the president came out and said there'd be no sanctions. Like, what the hell did he think was going to happen? Do you know what I mean? Counties were going to go back training like they did, and you can't blame them because they're hearing, just say, if a, you know, whatever county's back training, they're not going to be left behind, so they're going to ask their players to come in. So it's either one or the other for me, Davy, and Croke Park have to decide this. If it's a case where the lads are to be training one night with the county, then just do it across the board. It saves all the hassle with clubs and rows and put players in awkward positions. So I think Croke Park have to make a decision and they have to be strong in it, whatever way they're going to go.
And Kevin, isn't it fantastic, you know, after years and years of the club just being pushed down and down the list, that they've gone to the top of the tree now in terms of they've got the players to themselves? Because, you know, as we know from when the back door came in, the likes of Super 8s and all the interest that come, and of course the GAA then, I suppose, became a bit of a money making machine, and the top people were obviously pushing where the money was being made, which was the county teams. And then of course the vast majority of members that were the club player was getting left behind. So I think this hopefully will be the start of a big change in the GAA where they give the club player a certain part of the season to play his game and have the player free to be with his club only.
Definitely, and it's been great, you know, to be honest. Obviously, if these things happen, the situation we found ourselves in, you know, the Croke Park had a decision to make, and, you know, they did the right thing in my eyes, because if they didn't give president of the club, there was going to be uproar and it could have been detrimental to the clubs. But now the way that, you know, they've put the clubs back at the top of the tree, it's important that we work together now and that we don't find a situation where we get ourselves in mid-August and there's a clash now between club and county and boys being pulled every direction. So that's the big thing now, and when we have this time frame to put the clubs in the window, we have to make the most of it.
Yeah, and Kevin, do you think there's any advantage to a club there at the minute with someone that's got a heavy end county player, obviously having all their players back? I mean, it's going to be a very quick season. You have to hit the ground running, and it might change the goalposts a bit in terms of preparation. The fact that some teams, you know, have more county players, they're going to have them all there, which should give them an advantage.
Definitely, to me, it does. I definitely. Do you know what I'm like? You even just look at Eunice down through the years. Like, these boys have been, you know, contributing to county pals. They've made five or six lads. I mean, likewise, others, like Sikikara and these teams. And, you know yourself, you don't get access to your players. You might get them a Thursday night before a championship. And now teams have, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks to work together. So it's definitely, it has to improve the teams, you know. And like our club championship, we played Killybeg there in the challenge match the last day. And we were just chatting there, you know, Rory Gallagher afterward, and he was chatting about Derry, and, you know, Donegal's right up there at the top now when you talk about club football. So, you know, it's important that we make the most of it now, you know.
Yeah, good point. And Kevin, lastly, you're a busy man, particularly at the weekend there. Mickey's cracked open again, and a bit of noise about.
Yeah, it was good to me. It's good to get the doors back open, like, with, you know, like every business. We've been sitting idle for nearly 3 months, and you just want to get the doors open again. It's not like it was, obviously with your numbers and different things. But no, we had a good weekend, and it's just good to see the lights back on. You know, it's good for yourself and it's good for the community. And hopefully we keep doing our bit and it doesn't come back again.
Yeah, exactly, Kevin. That's fingers crossed that that happened. And thanks so much for sharing your views here this evening on the DL Debate. Right now, our feature this week is on our brilliant captain and leader, 92 hero, Anthony Molloy. He joins us now on the line. plenty of men, Anthony, have, I suppose, you know, like a daddy figure in the GA. You've become, you know, no more than McNiff, of course, lifting that first cup in 92. And we have a small wee clip there of that famous day.
And the people of Donegal, we have done it!
I can never get tired of hearing that, Anthony. And how's things with you today?
Ah, great, Brandon. It's great chatting to you. And sure, look, at that day will remain with us all, I suppose, and myself as well, like forever. And still gives me the goose pimples. And a great day for everybody, and a great day for the county. And everybody, you know, worldwide tuning in even. And, you know, what a day. Like, and it's just like yesterday, Brandon, really and truly.
Brilliant, Anthony. And this, Anthony, it came at what would be towards the end of your career. So much happened before that, and that's what I'd like to talk to you about. There was many ups and downs in it, but taking you right back, Anthony, to growing up in Ardragh, a big family, GA family, a lot of people had to emigrate. Growing up there, from football terms, in your house, so it was all GA.
Well, like, we had a big family, Brendan, as people would know, like 12 in the family, and 8 boys and 4 girls, like, and you know, in a small place called Yamagoura, way above Glengash there, and 4 houses in the town land. And suppose all we had to do, like, we were small farmers, and suppose after the chores were done, you know, the pastime was kicking around with the football, like, and we had the football all in our hands most of the time, and a few neighbours would join in. Like, I suppose that's where it all really started. Like, it was the only pastime, you know. Thinking back on it, you know, people don't realise that we didn't have the electricity, which is not too long ago, until 1975. And so that's all we had as a pastime, and it came from there. Like, and we always had games among ourselves, like, and the neighbours, and there were great times. Like, they were very, very simple times, and that was the start of it for me, you know.
You've better counsellors in the area now, Anthony. That's the difference. You get things done, but we'll get to that. But
you get things done straight away. Yeah.
Good man. Anthony, what about school then and underage? Obviously, you've got the brilliant under-21 title, but previous to that, were you playing minor and with the club there? Think you had a good club team at the time.
It's another amazing, you know, statistic as well. Like, I went to a small national school, Croft National School, and it was just a small attendance there, like, and they came 7 county footballers out of that small school, like, you had the Carrs and the Gaffigans and ourselves, you know. And we used to have a wee small yard there. There weren't much room either, and we had very, very competitive games among ourselves, like, in that wee yard, like, and which was great too. And so it went on from there, like, and I was very lucky. It started, I suppose, at under 16 team. Jackie McDermott, God rest him, like, from Ballyshannon, Jackie Riley, and a few boys set up a county under 16 team. And I was lucky enough to be selected on that with Jared McNeilis from Ardragh as well. And we went to Dublin. Just, we played one game, and it was just got us together, really. And we went to Dublin, and we played a Dublin selection, like, before National League final in 1978. And we beat that Dublin selection, like, and, you know, it was the first time for most of us in not only in Croke Park, but in Dublin. And that bunch of players probably kick-started it, like, and we had much success at minor level. And I went on then, and I had 4 spells with the county under-21 team, you know, and starting in 1980. And that was another funny story too. Suppose in 1982, I had my first trouble with a knee, really, in Trudy, Brendan, around that time. Mm. And I had an operation done in Jeffers Street Hospital in Dublin. And I didn't take part in the setup of 92 with Tom Cunningham. In fact, I missed the first game against Down. I wasn't even on the panel. And it was, I was going to give it a rest, I thought. And so after that game, Tom came to me. It's funny what fate is, like. And I started in Newry against Down, and we beat Down by a point that day, and we went on to win the All-Ireland on the 21, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a sort of a similar story, like, in 1992, like, I had retired in 91, like, and again, Brian McInniff came to me early 92, and, you know, we'll have another crack at it. Because my knee was giving me all sorts of trouble at this stage, and I was eating painkillers and that. And funny enough, 92, sure, you know, the rest is history, as I say, like, you know, so.
And yeah. See, after that, you were a young man, obviously, in 83, and you know, Donegal, obviously, were one of the top teams around. There was a few barren years after that, and it was that hard to cope with as a young man, that it seemed like that first year, them first couple of years with Donegal, you would always be in the round an Ulster title?
I often think about that, you know, in 1983, like, there were, from that under the success of 82, like, I think there were about 7 or 8 of us brought into the panel by Brian. I came in the, for the National League of 82, and we went on, like, you know, and we, our first goal, like, we won an Ulster title in 1983, like, and we thought it was going to be like this, you know, every summer, you know, but it didn't transpire that way, and like getting beat points here and points there, you know, in first round matches, like, and it took us until 1989 to get back into an Ulster final, and again, we drew the first day with Tyrone, like, and they beat us well the second day, you know, but going back to 1983, like, we had a great set of players that around that time, with young and mature and older players, you know. And again, Galway, you know, kept us at the post, you know, with a late goal. Like, and I often think, you know, if we had to make the breakthrough around that time, and I don't know how we'd have fared out against Dublin. Dublin won the All-Ireland that year with 12 men, remember? Mm. A terrible game against Galway. Sure. How we'd have fared out against Dublin, but who knows? Like, but looking back, yeah, you know, I often think too, if there was a back door in them days, maybe we might have had more success too, you know?
Yeah, it was very tough. Anthony, at the very start of my playing days with Donegal, it was knockout championship, and to think of everything you were putting into that one game, it's hard to imagine it now with the amount of big games that players go through all throughout the season. Even the league has become so much more hyped. And I was just thinking back to the captaincy thing. Obviously, as I say, some players just rise above sport, and for me, looking up as a young man, you were one of those players. The captaincy thing, obviously, you were a bit of an enforcer on the pitch, you know. You came off the back of someone like Michael Lafferty being captain previous days, you know. You'd fellas like Gavin can play him with you, guys who had to maybe look after some of her smaller men. But was the captaincy a thing that you were doing at underage level as well?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's probably a thing that I carried easily. Like, and again, you know, you're fair to Mickey Lafferty. Mickey Lafferty was a fantastic captain for us, you know, and I would have learned a lot from Mickey. Like, and he's a great player too. And I suppose the one thing I had, like, I would never ask anybody to do something that I wouldn't do myself, like, and, you know, and that was my, you know, idea of it all. And I always went out to protect. We had a smaller team, as you know yourself, like, and I always, you know, looked out for the guys around me, and I carried it easily, I have to say, like, but I mind the very first night I was handed the captaincy. It was a very nervous night for me, like, and I didn't expect it. It was 1988. Tom handed me the captaincy, and you know, I said, God, what am I going to do here with these boys? You know, but it came easily to me. I carried it easily, like, and it never infringed on. Okay, I had some stinkers too, remember, like, but it never really infringed on my head, like, it carried it, it wasn't important to me.
And the knee, and I suppose, you know, we are draw as well, you managed to get won a championship with them, and in terms of balancing the two then, you know, I heard stories of you coming to training with a heat pack on the knee, and then leaving training with an ice pack on it.
Yeah, we had a great club team, you know, in the early 80s as well. Like, and again, I had my first injury in a Ferns game in Dublin. Funny enough, for John Sisson and Sons Limited, I was working for up there, but I injured it very just a simple twist, like, but we went on that year in 1981. But I only got 10 minutes, Brendan, in the final of 81. But that knee was going to dog me, like, for years afterwards. Like, and I often think, you know, I know Jervis disclosed at the time, and maybe it wasn't the time to get, or maybe I could have got it done somewhere else. Like, but it was a problem for me for years and years and years. Like, and I think I had something like, I had the joint shaved twice, like, and I had about 6 ups on the left and 2 on the right, like, and coming back, like, we hadn't the same medical backup, you know, that's afforded to players today, like, and we hadn't, you know, we that's a totally different setup now. It's a professional setup now, like, we didn't have ice tubs or nothing like that there, like, and, you know, they've all sorts of things there now, which is great. Like, and on the mental side of it, like, you know, you'd look after yourself mentally, or Brian McEnough, really and truly, you know, if your head wasn't right, and he would call you, you know. So,
yeah.
But there's things like that I see massive. There's massive changes, like, and it's all for the good, like. And I eventually then had 9 years ago, I had to get a replacement knee, and thanks be to God, that has worked out good for me.
Yeah, I can only imagine the hours you've spent talking to McNiff over the years. You know, a meticulous planner, you being his captain and his main go-to guy, and putting messages on to the lads. You must have had, I suppose, days and days at this point, accumulative calls.
Towards the latter part of our era, I suppose, like, we had team meetings, we were heading that, you know, we had the team meetings, and we had video clips, like, and we had analysis, you know, and that was only in the last year or two, Brendan, you know, and many, many calls, like, you'd get a call from Brian McEnough at 12 o'clock at night, or it could be 7 o'clock in the morning, like, but he was a great, great man, he was a great motivator, like, and he understood the players, but I suppose, you know, what made it easy for me too as a captain, like, we had captains all over the pitch, you know, Brendan, like, and leaders there too, you know, and it certainly made my job as captain easy.
Mm. And Anthony, when we're getting in near, of course, the famous 1990, how was the body then, Anthony? Was there a feeling in the camp that, you know, from the previous year and you know, obviously winning Ulster, that, you know, we're ready for a tilt at this? What was the feeling around that time?
Well, in 1990, I think we let that game slip against me, you know, and funny enough too, I was injury free that year, and again, I had to go for an operation in early 91, like, but I think I feel as well, we played it very well, very well against Meath, and we must have had about 60% possession, like, but we just didn't get the scores, you know, and then they hit us with two goals, and that was a huge disappointment coming back down the road that day. After playing well, I got man of the match that day as well, but it was no good to me, because I felt that we had the measure of Meath, like, and maybe if we could make the breakthrough in 90, we might have had another one or two out of it, but saying that, as a group as well, like, we're starting to get up there, and the miles were there as well, you know, and time was running out, like, but along comes 92, like, and there were a few of us 30 plus, like, and a lot of injuries and a lot of miles up, as I said, like, but
there was
I was thinking yesterday, Brenton, you know, I was just thinking yesterday, sorry, I'm grateful, like, for the achievements, because, you know, three Ulster titles, you know, and an All-Ireland under 21, like, and a senior All-Ireland, you know, and there's a lot, loads and loads of players that have put in the same effort and commitment as I would have put in, like, and if nothing to show for it, you know, and that's the other side of the coin, you know.
And do you know what, last week we had Peter Kenevan on, and no matter the amount of stuff he's won, he still was really serious about, listen, I can show you a list of stuff that I lost. So I was just going to say, Anthony, it depends on the mindset, you know, you got to look back in it and just take the good stuff, like, you're never going to win it all, but certainly what you did win was fantastic. And going back just to that time after 90 then, in 91, and of course we get back into Ulster final again, we lose fairly heavily to Down in it, and I was just wondering about the dressing room after that. You know, you're saying about miles on the clock, was there thoughts in the back of your mind saying, listen, this isn't going to happen, or was it one big push, or what was the feeling about?
Well, I think it all changed, definitely 91. I thought that was the end of the road for myself personally, because my knee, like, again, as I said, had another operation early 91, and coming back after these operations wasn't easy, like, and even though they were, you know, they weren't that big, but they were big enough at the same time, like, they were cartilage replaced and all that there, and I would have put up countless nights in the old Kentucky with no lights, like, compared to the facility they have today, like, but I was there round and round the field in the dark and Yarn Beach, like, just jogging all that there, like, and I certainly thought, like, 91, like, this was it, you know, and you know, fate's a great thing, Brendan, and I met just, as I say, Brian McEnough shortly after Christmas of 92, and some sort of a game of Baba Fee, like, and I think it was a minor match of some sort, and he says, look, I'm not sure, we'll give it another one crack, like, and I thought about it again, like, and sure, look, we had a great bunch of players, like, and still are, like, and we knew each other in and out, like, we were around a long, long time together, like, and everybody else was staying on too, like, so that really made up my mind, like, and it's amazing I stayed in Dufree then in 92, like, I had no problem with any, albeit, like, I was still eating painkillers and that there.
Yeah, and they had no idea you could have that many operations on that part of your body. It seems mad. Andy, tell me now, just about 91, you mentioned McNiff there. The county board, the habit of sacking McNiff randomly, and he was coming and going. He laughs about it himself, you know, fair play to him. I was speaking to him the other evening. But the fact of that heavy defeat, was there any call at the time that McNiff himself might be under a bit of pressure? Because, you know, that could have been something that would have led us not getting to the All-Ireland then.
Well, I think, you know, I think Brian himself knew that this team, like, that there was something in this team, you know, and he, to be fair to him, he never gave up on us, and to be fair, he would have been under pressure as well, like, from the county board, maybe to step aside, like, and, but that was Brian, like, and Brian had great belief in the squad, like, because he knew us, like, from we were 18, 19 years of age, like, or maybe younger. And to be fair, he knew every last one of us, like, he knew what we were like personally as well, like, and he knew our faults, and he knew everything about us, like, and we were one big family, you know, Brendan, and we came through a lot, like, and we had a lot of disappointments, like, and, but I think, you know, Brian probably would have been under pressure, like, and the county boards, as you know, have to do act, and but I think the county board had great faith in Brian as well, like, and you know, it's amazing, like, one defeat, like, or one, you know, one victory, like, and you forget all about your defeats as well, like, you know.
Mm. And so that's, I suppose, taking us back into that time in the 92 then, and as you say, great bunch of lads. I was lucky enough to play with six or seven when I started, and I got to meet you. I still remember you speaking in our dressing room one day before a championship match in Croke Park, and I tell you what, the hairs are standing in the back of the neck. You could deliver a speech, I'll tell you that. But Andy, that first game, going back in, and this still puts scares up me, that game against Cavan, you know, you were coming into the game and you were thinking All Ireland, but there you were in the first round, almost going out the first step.
We were lucky to come out of breath, Neil, like, and there's no doubt about that there, only a bit of McHugh magic again, like, and but, you know, we changed things, but it came to a Fermanagh match, probably. I know that we were lucky, like, we beat the Cavan very well, like, then, and Baba Féin, the replay, man, it was a very, very wet day. And, but I think what changed everything around for us, like, we played Fermanagh then in the semi-final, and we huffed and puffed again, like, but we got over the line. But we had a players' meeting, with no management, without the management after the Fermanagh match, like, and we decided, look, this wasn't good enough. We weren't fit enough to play the game that we were trying to play. And we decided, everybody, look at that, we put our shoulders to the wheel and give it one last big effort. And that we start training three nights a week. We'd up the ante. And it's amazing, like, the way it worked out. Like, we did do that, like, the following week, like, we trained two nights without the football at all. Like, and on the Friday night, we had the ball. And that was the way it was for that whole summer. And, you know, we realised then all of a sudden, like, that we were fit. We got fit. I mean, we were in great shape, like, and that we now could play the game, the short game that we were trying to play, like. And, you know, we proved that against Derry. I think it probably was the best second-half performance of any team in the Ulster final, like, down to 14 men playing into a small breeze, like. And because that was a very, very good Derry team, Brendan.
That's right.
And, you know, they proved that the following year. And I think that was the turning point for us, like, that we really, really trained as a unit. Like, nobody was missing. There was no excuses. And collectively, like, three nights a week for that whole summer. Like, even after one of the Ulster final, like, as we all know, like, the style here in Donegal, like, that year you would have a good few pints or whatever. That didn't happen that year. Like, we're back training on the Monday night in Baba Féin as hard as ever, maybe harder, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that was the difference, you know.
Anthony Harkin was the trainer. He was first class. A lot of plaudits going to him at the time.
First class, like, a club man of my own, a great guy, Anthony, and he was the top coach around that time, probably still is, and great trainer, and he did put us through our paces, like, and, you know, we were doing stuff that year, and I think back on this as well, maybe if we had been doing the stuff that we're doing that year, like, and I mean hard training, like, 10 years prior, like, God only knows what we might have won.
And tell me, was there fear in the back of your own mind about the knees going to give up on you? Was that a constant panic that at any stage it could be out of action?
certainly, like every game, like just every game, like but you know, amazingly, I got through the training like as much as I could, like the hard training, like the stamina work especially, because you know I was never a speed merchant anyway, Brendan, like, and so it was a matter of just of stamina work for me, like, and Brian then would have made sure, like, maybe that I didn't get into the sharp stuff, which you know they would have been doing at that time. And so, you know, I suppose again, it was just luck, like, that the knee held out, like, which was great. And but as I say, like, you know, I think if we had to apply ourselves, like, the way we applied ourselves in 92, like, 10 years prior to that, like, you know, God only knows.
Yeah, certainly. And then, of course, the write-off game in many ways against Mayo, which didn't really matter at the time in terms of the performance. It was just all about getting through and getting that Crow Park hoodoo off the back. Was there a lot of tension before that game, and it looked like there was?
Look, again, there was huge pressure. Like, you know, there was probably huge pressure on us, like, because plenty of teams going to Crow Park and playing well, but not a good show, like, and coming back down the road to hit the results. Like, that was there in the back of our minds, you know, as well. Like, and we probably didn't express ourselves against Mayo. Like, we huffed and puffed again, and we didn't play probably until the last 10 minutes of that match. Like, but there, and saying that, like, you know, Mayo were seriously a big team, physical team, like, and maybe it didn't suit us, you know, and they got stuck onto us as well. Like, and but it was a poor performance, like, Brendan, to be fair. Like, but again, like, I think it was this mental barrier, like, of getting through the semi final, like getting to an All Ireland, like, and that certainly was there, and that would have affected us that day, you know.
And then, of course, the build up. I can only imagine what it must have been like. You probably were hiding in between training sessions and just trying to stay out of harm's way, because I suppose you being, you know, the captain and the go to guy, everybody wanted to talk to you. Everybody wanted to have a word, and well, not even mention tickets.
It was like, look, with the build-up, like, was unreal, like, especially the 3 or 4 weeks, you know, before they're learning, like, you know, and but there's a huge buzz all over the county, Brendan, and every town, village, you know, decorated, and everybody wanting a photograph, everybody wanting to talk to you. But, and saying that, you know, Brian had as well tuned in too, like, and, you know, but not reading what you see in papers and all that there, and stay away from the press as much as we could, like, and all that. So he'd as well tuned in and all that there, and, like, but it was a great time. Like, there was some buzz, like, when I think back on it, like, young and old, like, and everybody, it was football everywhere you went, you know, and everybody wanted to, as I said, a picture of some sort, and or a few words, you know, but look at it, I carried that as well, like, because I always love meeting people anyway, but at the same time, you have, as you know yourself, like, you can't get too much involved in that there. You stay focused, and I think we did stay focused, there's no doubt about that, like, you know for the job in hand.
Yeah, it certainly looked like there was a big difference in terms of how Donegal went out in the final versus the semi-final. It looked like you were there to do it. I was just wondering, last week Peter Kennevin, when he won the first All-Ireland with Tyrone, he was captain, but he hadn't got a speech ready because he was too afraid of losing it, and I always think, from a captain's perspective, it must be kind of hard for you, Andy, to sit down and say, right, I need to have a speech here, but you're still thinking, right, I'm totally focused, I've to win this game. It's a hard one for the captain to get his head around, I would say, in the weeks leading up.
I look at, you know, I would have prepared maybe something as Gaelic and that there, but again, I went away without it, like, you know. But as a few short words in that there, but I never believed in preparing speeches anyway, like, for, you know, for final victories anyway, never did, like, and as you know yourself, Brim, if you get the job done, like, and you're receiving this cup, like, it's not hard to speak, I'll tell you.
You'll think of something. You wouldn't be stuck for a word,
when you, especially when you get your hands on Sam McGuire for the first time, like, what a moment, like, and it'll always remain with me, and you know, it's something that I, as a young lad, like, dreamed about too, and watching other people doing it and other players doing it, you know, and as I said, it's not hard to speak, Brendan.
Yeah, magic time. I think I can remember back to Donal Reid. He was on one of the early weeks, was on about the train trip going back. I think it was one of the best times of his life. As you said, there was some amount of characters on that team, Anthony, and the crack must have been unreal. You had finally got across the line, and you knew what was waiting for you as you come down the road. You know, the whole county was ready for party.
Look, we had a great set of lads, I have to say. Like, and all different characters, you know, and
then, you know, you always had the, as you know yourself, you had the back of the bunch, or the back of the bus brigade, like, you know, boys thought that they could sing and all that there, and, like, we'd some great, great times and great days, like, and, you know, we'd some huge disappointments too, like, but I think, you know, the good times are outweighed the bad times, and I said, we'd a great, great bunch of characters reading there, like, was, you know, you know, Troy Nell song there, and JJ, you know, when I think back on it, like, you know, there's still great, great people to have, like, and great people to know, like, I was over the dome there, that's about a sciatica trouble, like, she had a great old chat right at the back there, talked about everything, like, in the years gone by, like, so that's what makes it all worthwhile, you know.
And tell me, of course, you've won All-Ireland now, you're back home, the trip around Donegal, it's such a special time, Anthony, and, you know, you're the guy, you're the superstar there, you're the man everybody wants to see. Was that hard to deal with personally, that you're being the calls and the nights and the occasions, everyone wants you here, wants you there, wants the cup, was that hard to deal with, or did you take it in your stride?
It was a tough while, I have to say, like, the week after was tough, like, we travelled every town and village, like, in Donegal, and that was tough going, you know, there's no point in saying anything else, like, and on the road, like, and stopping in every town, speeching in every town, and it was tough going, and a couple of months afterwards as well, like, you know, I was on the road day and night, like, and I'll give you one example, like, we went across to the pond, like, and we'd done four cities in 6 days, and so there would be huge pressure on, and huge pressure on personal life as well, you know, and I suppose everything comes with a cost too, Brendan, like, something, you know, something's going to be affected, like, if you're on the road day and night, and different functions, like, and to be able, after a couple of weeks, like, when the novelty wore off, like, it was hard going, because I'd done schools as well during the day, you know, again, great reception in every single school in Donegal, and again, the cameras and the noise and everything, but it was a great, great time, don't get me wrong, like, but, you know, but a lot of pressure, I have to say. Yeah,
and listen, we can only imagine that. I know everybody just looks at it as brilliant time, and you would have had a lot of great times in it, but then as you said, there's a massive strain on your time, and if you keep doing anything repetitive, then it becomes a chore then, and you, as you said, speeches here, and so many things for you to do, but Annie, the confidence obviously of winning All Ireland, and there was something about Donegal then, you just felt you were in this frame of mind where you couldn't be beaten, or you certainly knew how to win games, and you'd beaten everybody, you were champions, so you're going in now to 93, and you know, the conditioning's in there, the team's still there all together, Anthony, and you're thinking, listen, we may give this another tilt.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a very true saying, Brendan, you know, success breeds success. Like, and I think for the bigger part of Donegal, like, we had some great teams, even going back to the 70s and that in the early 70s, you know, and great, great talent, like, but we didn't have that self-belief, Brendan, as necessary, and maybe our self-worth, like, as footballers, like, and Brian McInniff, you know, to be fair to him, instilled that in us, like, as people as well, like, that year, like, we strolled through the National League, like, you know, and we just couldn't get beat, like, and I suppose, albeit a bad day in 93 in the Ulster final, and injuries as well, like, again, the injuries started creeping in again, like, and you know, we maybe on a better, if it was a dry day, we could have got over the line in 93 as well, like, and that's a very, very good Derry team, you know, let's not forget, like, but again, the injuries were there, you know, and the miles, Brendan, like, and who knows if we had to get over Derry that day, like, you know, what we'd have done, gone on to do, you know.
Yeah, and the injury is a huge thing, you think about when teams come together, if you look at Donegal in the next All-Ireland in 2012, we had a complete clean bill of health, and everybody was right, and it just seemed like, you know, the whole season came together. In many ways, the second All-Ireland was similar to that. So, Anthony, after that defeat to Derry, which in a game that should never have been played, you were saying then you had to call time, that the knees was at you, it was going to be too much.
Well, funny enough, I hung in until 94, and you'll always remember, I hung into 94, like, and I didn't get probably game the knee was at me, but I'll always remember the semi-final against Tyrone and Breffni, like, I'll always remember that day because Martin McHugh was carried off and I was taken off, and it wasn't a great display. Like, in Tyrone, beat us fairly well that day, and I certainly knew that day that was it, yeah. You know. And you'll always remember it. I'll always remember my last club game as well, like, you know.
Yeah, and basically the two had to go together. It wasn't that you could play a bit with the club, it was just you were told by a surgeon that was it, you got to stop now.
A huge, you know, and a lot of players, they're going to see it, has been spoken about, like, I had to pack in both club and county, and all of a sudden, and you know, there's a huge vacuum here, you know, of gone was the glory, gone plenty time on your hands, and so it's a huge vacuum to fill there, even during the week and during the weekends, like, and it's a totally different setup then, it becomes a totally different setup, and you know, but luckily enough, I got involved in management then, like, and when I look back, it was great, like, and I got involved with the county minor team in 95, 96, like, and again, we won an Ulster title, like, and you know, with the Rory Cavanaghs, Colin McFadden, and Christy Toy, all them lads were there, like, and so that sort of eased it for me, like, but I can't imagine, like, I can imagine what a county player goes through, like, if he hangs up his boots, like, and that there, and does absolutely nothing, you know, you certainly have to do something else anyway, whether it be golf, like, and or whatever you're going to, like, but you have to fill that vacuum that you're so used to doing all your life, like, that, you know, the program worked out for the week, you know.
Yeah, and you're also going to do a bit of public service. I actually was looking at a wee clip last night, didn't they? I'm going to play it for you now, it was a funny one.
I think somebody was saying after the match, maybe a first shot by you towards the Doyle State there. I don't think I'm making a TD, either.
Be careful.
You know, when I think of people asking, you know, but look, I always had an interest in politics and that there, and as being captain of Donegal, like, I was always representing Donegal the best possible, you know, that I could do, and I think looking back, I would hope to say that I was a good ambassador for Donegal, like, and I was still out and about, maybe going to wee functions, so I says, you know, why not have a crack at public life, and again, thankfully, that turned out okay as well for me, you know.
Good man, and obviously the TD is the next step on the line, is it, after this council?
Rule. I don't know, like, I certainly have to look at my age, hey, Brandon. I think they're looking for younger people.
So, Andy, listen, again, you're part in 2012 then, having brought through some of them minors and that. So, at the minute, life, in terms of GA and that, Andy, you go and support Donegal, the coaching side of things now, there isn't time for it. It's such a commitment now to take up any side in terms of organising and coaching club or county.
Ah, well, look at it, you know, I looking back, like, you know, I was chairman of my own club, I managed my own senior club teams, I was involved in underage in Ardrath for a good number of years. I went to Neath Clumber there, and I managed Neath Clumber as well, my neighbouring club here, I managed them at senior level, which I enjoyed, and also at underage, and you know, it... Most, like, we know nothing else here in Donegal. Like, you know, the GAA is a big part of our lives here in Donegal, and especially in you know... I've known nothing since I was knee high on EJ and that there, like, but it was great to go around and be able to put something back in after me playing days, like, and enjoy them stunts. But then there comes a time, I think, that you have to go as well, Brendan. And a couple of years ago, I think it was starting to become a chore for me, like, for non-attracts at bottom and going down to training fields and that there. So that's where I really decided to think I've enough of this and let the other people. As you know, Brandon, like, the whole thing has changed as well. Like, even at club level, like, clubs now are professionally set up, like, and different ideas and everything like that. But still, Brandon, I still wonder what's going on in dressing rooms or how are team talks now and that there. What's a team talk like, or how are teams...
Get back behind the ball would be the main one, I think, isn't it?
Sorry, Brandon.
Get back behind the ball.
yeah, I think so. But, like, you know, I really enjoyed, like, 2012. Like, you know, the success of 2012 was great. Like, because that photograph showing there, I had a photograph with Michael Murphy. I think he was only about 3 years of age at the time, right, beside the cup. Like, to see this man going up 20 years later, like, it was satisfaction out of that there. And as a photograph, I look at quite a number of times. And, you know, what a job Michael Murphy has done as Capitano, like, and as a player, you know, for Donegal, a great leader, like, and great. It's great. Like we're going through a golden era here, Brendan, like here in Donegal. Like we're every year like in Clonus, like which is great. Like and one on us, there's not much good to us anymore. Like we're becoming a bit like Kerry in that respect, and we need more. Like and but they're great times here in Donegal, and I think this team, this present team we have, I think there could be one left in them yet, you know, they're a great bunch of players, and they're young players coming in now, like, and they're starting to mature, which is great, like, and it'd be nice to see another one coming shortly, Brendan.
Yeah, exactly, and listen, you've certainly give your service to the county, Anthony, and all those teams that you've coached and been involved in. And listen, you're right about Michael. I think he's, you know, certain players rise above the sport, and him and yourself are definitely two of them here. And you're right, in Donegal, there's such a love of GAA. That's why we carried this show on, that the interest was there, and I wanted to tap into that a bit and speak to the great and good, and speak to people like yourself, Anthony Malloy, always synonymous with Donegal GAA, and brilliant to hear your story and talk to you this evening.
Thanks a lot, Brendan. Good talk to you.
I'll see you soon, sir. Check this. Right, that's a wrap for episode 19. Thanks so much for tuning in and for listening to this wherever you're at in the world. I want to thank Kenneth in studio for producing here, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly, and of course my guests Kevin Cassidy and Anthony Malloy. I'll speak to you again next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney in association with the Dry Arch Complex, Letterkenny.